Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
Amen. If the breath that we have in our lungs came from God, and we use that breath to worship our King, amen. Who else will worship God if the ones whom he has filled their lungs with don't? Who else will declare into the earth that he is God if his children won't? As we were singing that, I was thinking that wherever we are in life, on our jobs, wherever we are, can I encourage us to take moments where we open up our mouth and we give God the glory? Yes. Amen. I know if you work in a cubicle, maybe a little awkward. If you work in an office next to someone, but can I encourage us, wherever you are, even if you're not working, find space in your everyday life to give God the glory. Amen? Don't hold back the breath of God that he has breathed within you. There's a song that says, "This is the air I breathe." So as we breathe in the breath of God, the love of God, really that's what that is. As we breathe in the love of God, the compassion of God, breathe out the praise of God. Amen. Breathe out the praise of God. When we give God glory, we're just expressing our love for him. When he gives us breath, he's expressing his love for us. So there's this beautiful relationship that we have. It's this intermingling. It's this love relationship that we have. But I encourage us to open up our mouths. I think I said that last week. There's been something about God encouraging us to open up our mouth and say something. And so in your daily space, I don't know why I just got the image of making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Where'd that come from? Whether you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? Give God praise and glory. Whether you're driving down the road, find space and time to open up your mouth. And I literally mean this. Open up your mouth and give God some praise and glory in that space. Because what you do, if you can believe this, you release the atmosphere of God wherever you are. So if you keep it in, maybe the fragrance of the love of God, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, right? So you can do works and the expression of God can come forward. You can. You certainly can. So that means that you can keep your mouth shut and the expression of God can be manifested in the earth. But on top of that, if you open up your mouth, I believe this, that you can cause atmospheres to change as you open up your mouth. Like if you walk into a different place and you notice that it feels a little icky, feels a little different. If you walk into a place and you realize the atmosphere is not conducive for you to work in, which means it's not conducive for the Lord to express himself through you, open up your mouth and begin to say something. Begin to say, "God, I thank you so much that you're in this place." You know, maybe you got to say it under your breath, but say it. Open up your mouth. There's something about proclaiming. Every time God was about to do something, he would proclaim it, right? So Emmanuel, God with us, right? The angels proclaim Jesus being born. There's something about opening up our mouth and proclaiming things. Remember when Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to be healed or do you want to be made whole?" It's like he needed the man to open up his mouth and say something. Can these dry bones live, right? Open up your mouth and say something. So if the environment that you are in is not conducive for you to operate freely, which means that it may be a restriction for the Lord to flow through you freely, open up your mouth and say something. Amen? And the reason why I was chuckling is I was like, because some of us, we just, and this does happen. Some of us believe, well, just by my mere presence, the atmosphere should change. Yeah, you're powerful. You definitely are. You the presence of the Lord, the fragrance of God is just flowing through you. But sometimes you have got to open up your mouth and shift something within the atmosphere. Do you realize that atmosphere and attitude are are the same, like disposition and atmosphere. So an environment can have a disposition, right? An environment can have an attitude. So if you open up your mouth, you can start speaking to that attitude of the environment and cause it to shift. Whatever you bind on earth, right, which means it's already bound in heaven. So whatever you are binding on earth, it must already have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, which means that it's already loosed in heaven. Whatever you bound, the scripture says this, whenever you bound on earth, whatever you declare to be unlawful on earth must match what is already unlawful in heaven. Whatever you declare to be lawful and able to happen on earth must match what is able to happen and free to reign in heaven. Are y'all following me? Right? So we just don't come up with this stuff. Lord, I bind up my supervisor. Is that lawful in heaven? Is God saying things like, I bind that person up? What is God saying? I bind up that spirit, right? Or I loose that spirit. And so find out what is lawful or unlawful in heaven, and then open up your mouth and declare it to be so in your life here on earth. Because when you do that, heaven has your back. So what if you are, I don't know why I'm on this point right here, what if you are speaking things that heaven does not have your back on? Because it doesn't match. So what if something is lawful in heaven, but you're down here calling it unlawful? Right? When I'm saying lawful, it's free to happen. Unlawful, it's not free to happen. What if you're speaking in opposition to heaven? We do that when we walk in the flesh, right? So, are y'all with me? I gotta get off this point here. But some people might be, you're stepping into different environments and atmosphere. It may be your own home. And so God is saying, inquire of him what is, I'll just put it this way, what's legal in heaven? What is legal in the kingdom of God? If it is legal and it can happen, speak that it be legal and happening in your life. But if it is illegal to happen in the kingdom of God, then bind it up and say, this should not be happening in my life because I am a kingdom citizen and I reflect the king. Amen? So open up your mouth. Somebody in here, it may just be for one person, you are being too quiet. Whoever that is, you are being too quiet and you're tolerating too much stuff. And it's not people, it's atmosphere. You say, well, ain't it the people that's causing the atmospheres? It could be. Or it could be some other spiritual things. I don't know, whatever it is, it could be generational things. But for some people, you are being too quiet. And God keeps this, I think this is the third week that the Lord keeps saying, open up your mouth and say something. God is saying to you, if this relates to you, stop being so quiet. Amen? Well, I just have a quiet spirit. You can't have a quiet spirit 24/7. There has to be a moment when you let loose. Amen? Like around here, maybe we're quiet, you know, but somewhere we have to be able to open up our mouth and declare the word of the Lord. Amen. So let's get into the word for today. I am always excited about the scripture. So if I get up here and I say, I'm excited about this word, just know that I'm excited about this word. So let's dive into it. We'll look a little bit at Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, and then jump to verse 14. But let's dive into the word. So about 2 weeks ago, if you missed last week, I encourage you to go online and watch the service. And again, we do welcome those that's watching us live right now and as well. Pray that you'll be able to lock into the word. But if you missed last week, I certainly pray that you will watch the service from last week. But 2 weeks ago, we were on this sermon series. So when we talk about one accord, be on one accord, this is not just about us as people being in agreement or on one accord. More than wanting to be in agreement with people, we should want to be in agreement with God more than we want to be in agreement with people. And so a faith community such as the one that we have here, it's where God may be impressing upon one person's heart something that he wants them to do, and then he's impressing upon the other one, and then we come together and we find ourselves in agreement. But we don't go looking for people to be in agreement. And for some people, I'll just say it this way, stop trying to get people to be in agreement with what God is asking you to be in agreement with him. Right? So God may be pulling some people up to another level, and you keep looking for people to be in agreement with your elevation, with your moving up. And that's causing you to be weighted down because you're so concerned about people being in agreement with you. And you need to loose that. Loose, like loose. Stop. But it's not them holding on to you. Not like the crab thing, right? It's not that. For some people it is. But for some, it's we keep holding on. You know, like Randy came with this. It's like the Lord, I'm not going to stand on the chair, but y'all just picture me going up, okay? It's like the Lord is moving you up. I'm talking spiritually, and it could manifest naturally as well. And I so much want Randy to go with me, and I'm like, ugh. And the Lord can only take me about this high because I won't let Randy go. It's like I love Randy, but if the Lord is not telling Randy to go where I'm going, at some point, it's like we still good, but I gotta go. And sometimes we're so concerned about disconnecting with people from people and what they're gonna think about us and all of that, that we hold our elevation back because we want to be on one accord with people more than we want to be on one accord with God. Can I say this to you? At wherever God is leading you in your walk with him, there is a bunch of people that will be there that you can connect with. like the people that you knew is not the only people that are Christians. That there's more people, but the beauty is that you haven't even met them yet. Just like there's so many people in here that 2 years ago, I didn't know you. But now we are going where God wants us to go together. Like we showed up in one place because God was lifting us to a place, and now we find ourselves on one accord in this place because we went to the place where God was lifting us to. So stop, like, you can't bring everybody. Everyone cannot go with you wherever you're going. And it don't mean that something happened. It don't mean that we don't like each other any longer. I'm following God. I'm following God. And I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, right? You know, and all of that, but I gotta go. So if you're in here, so that's nugget number two, right? So if you're in here and the Lord is challenging you to go to the next level and you're so concerned about people, the Lord knows who you need in your life at the next level. You just need to get there. He's already been there. God operates from the end to the beginning, so he's already been where he's calling you to be. You need to get there. Don't be scared. Can y'all just look to somebody next to you and just say, stop being scared? Amen. So what did God say to, what is God saying to you? Do you believe it? And are we adhering to it or obeying it, or are we moving into it? All right, so let's look at some of the scriptures here as we walk through this. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1 just says this, in the former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach. Verse 2, until the day when he ascended, after he through the Holy Spirit had instructed and commanded the apostle, special messengers whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden, and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak." Let me just look at this verse for a moment. Let this digest, because we'll deal with this verse for a moment. And Jesus, let me just add something. And while Jesus being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak." So I pray that the Holy Spirit will kind of, maybe that's where the peanut butter and jelly sandwich came from, because I want to chop this up a little bit. So let's just like break down the scripture for a moment. See the historical aspect. Jesus, he's already risen from the dead, and he's spending time with the disciples. See that? Now bring it into your own living room. Let's look at what God is talking about. So the question becomes this: are we inviting God into our company? And then are we giving him space to instruct us on the things to do or not to do? And this is the reason why in the beginning it was saying, like, in the midst of our days, let's open up our mouth and say something. Let's spend time with God. Let's not live segregated lives when it comes to our relationship with God, where in this space, the space that we would call church, I am fully, hopefully fully available to God. But when I step out of here, I live another life, like something different. And that is very confusing. I thank God that God is God, because some of the ways that we treat God, y'all know what this means? Peace. Some of the way that we treat God in our relationship, sometimes we ignore him. We don't spend time. We just ask him for stuff and then we don't say thank you. There's so many, some of us, Lord, this year, 2026, it's all about you. And by February, the promises sometimes that we make to God, I am so glad that God is God. Because if he was a human being, he would have divorced us many times over. Or he just wouldn't have came back. So in the intervals of our day, are we creating space? Are we inviting God into our company? The disciples at this point was just sitting down and eating. And it says that Jesus was in their company. But look at else what was happening in this. So the first thing, while being in their company, this is a promise that God is with you. So some people, you let this digest, that regardless of what you're going through, regardless of where you are, God is with you. So Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, decided that I want to hang out with these disciples. God is deciding that he wants to hang out with us. God, like God. Y'all know what God, do you know what God does on a daily basis? Do you know how many, he's God, y'all. I mean, like, some of us are super busy, but do you realize he is omnipresent? So he's present here and there and everywhere at the same time, but decides that I want to spend time with you, regardless of where you are. And if we can open up our senses to detect when the Lord is tapping us on the shoulder, and not, can you shrug your shoulder like, you know, yeah, like do one of them things, like leave me alone, you know, like the Lord tapping on the shoulder, but God wants to wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with us. Even the next part, even in our day-to-day. So you just came out of a meeting and God is saying, just using this in my own way, how you doing? You should step outside right now and talk to me. What you doing on your lunch break? Well, I was going to hang out with the people. You should tell them you got something else you got to do. Did you bring your Bible with you today? Oh, you didn't bring it, but you can use your phone. When you get home from work, don't get involved in things. Go upstairs in your room, lock the door, and spend time with me. Hey, tomorrow morning, instead of waking up at 6 o'clock, wake up at 5:30 because I got something I want to share with you. Nope, don't call them right now. They'll be all right. They'll be all right. I know you're very concerned and worried about them right now. Don't call them right now. I got them. Spend time with me. Okay, that meal that you were going to eat, hold on. Don't eat it yet. Just call it a 30-minute fast, and I'll take care of you. The Lord wants to be in our everyday. But if our mind is thinking the time that God speaks to me is when I come to this created atmosphere called church, we are missing a lot of interaction with God. He wants to be a part of our everyday interaction. You should get gas right now. Fill up your tank right now. I'm good on a quarter. Fill it up right now. That's the everyday part. No, don't pay that bill right now. Pay this one. That's the everyday. You should wear this today. Don't drive that way. Drive this way. That's God. But if we're not sensitive to that, some people, you are questioning whether or not it's God too much. Did you come up with it? And sometimes we're wondering, like, where did that thought come from? Are you spending time with God so that it can develop your confidence that when you get that little inkling, you can say, Lord, is that you? And start moving by faith in that area. Something that the Lord shared with me, he said, if it ain't me, believe me, I know how to get you back. But if you're so afraid to move, he ain't got to get you back from nothing. He'll just keep nudging you forward. So if you're listening and you're so hesitant in regards to God, is that you're like this? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Oh, I hope I ain't miss you. Do walk by faith and not by sight. You are spending time with God. Let that increase your confidence that when you're getting that inkling, that is the Lord. How are you ever going to develop your faith in God if you never move? How? How are you going to, you have to do what? Exercise your faith. So if you keep saying, I don't know if that's you. So if it is you, God, I need like a burning bush experience. That's not the way God operates these days. You know how he operates? By his Spirit. It's not by signs and wonders, because then we'll always be looking for the gigantic things to happen. It's in the what? The still, small voice. Amen? So what is God saying to you not to do? What is he commanding? And then what is God saying to you to do? And then this piece right here is so good. And this is the reason why I encourage us to write things down. Whatever the Lord is leading you to do right now connects to something that he already said or shared with you. And it may even go way back to your childhood. God does not get restricted by time and space. So this is the reason why I encourage us to write things down. Whatever the Lord is impressing upon your heart today might be connected to something that he shared with you some time ago. And as you journal, you'll start connecting the dots. Amen? The Lord is always ready to speak and move and share. But are we put it together like a puzzle? This past week, the Lord was sharing some things with me, and I was like, it was this moment, like, oh, so that, and that, and that, and that, oh. What I was doing was reminiscing on what the Lord had taken me through and connecting it to today, and it was coming together. Every situation in your life is not garbage. I'll just put that out there. It's not garbage. Last week we talked about opening up these boxes. Open up the box. Is this something I need to keep? No? Get rid of it. Open up the box. Is this something that I need to keep? You sure? Connect it. Everything is not garbage. Everything you went through is not garbage. Some of it, God is using the material of it to connect to what he is sharing with you right now. Write it down. Amen? Because some of us are saying, my life was a mess, and I never want to go back. Is the Lord telling you not to think about what you came through, or is that you? Because if God is leading you to step into something and it's connected to something that you went through, and you're saying, I never want to revisit that again, is that you saying that, or is that God saying that? Amen? And some of them say, well, Lord, you're going to have to use another piece of material because I ain't going back. And God is saying, nope, I want to use that broken relationship. I want to use that situation to connect to where I want you to be right now in your life. Amen? Amen. This is the reason why it is important for us to spend time with God and be honest with God. So as I present to him my life, let God be the one to sift through and say, okay, yep, nope, we don't need that, we don't need that. Ah, this one right here, hold on to that one, because we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And sometimes we're throwing away everything. Do not throw away anything until you ask God whether you should throw it away. Somebody like, dag, I wonder if they picked up trash yet. I'm talking about kind of like mental and spiritual things. God may be trying to use the ingredients. Do you remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Right? Imagine if Peter like, Lord, I don't ever want to deal with that no more. Don't you know that there's a moment when Jesus comes back after he's resurrected and he deals with Peter in that area? Some people say that was the moment when he was restoring Peter. Imagine if Peter was like, I can't do this no more because I denied you 3 times and I know you're the resurrected Savior, but how can I do this because I denied you? They asked me if I knew you and I said no 3 times and you told me I was going to do that. Like, have you ever been in that place in your life where you're like, Lord, I know I didn't do what you told me to do. And now you're asking me to do something else. Don't get stuck in that and say, I guess God, you ain't going to use me no more. Why are we the ones determining whether or not God is going to use us? We are not, can I say this? We are not a good person to determine if God is going to use us. Because we will dismiss ourselves just about every time. Amen? I hope this is bringing up some stuff within your heart. Jesus goes on and he says this, for John baptized with water. But then he says, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, but look at this, placed in or introduced into the Holy Spirit. Stay with me on this one here. Baptism with water distinguishes John the Baptist, kids was talking about it, preparatory ministry from the Holy Spirit's outpouring. So water, the water baptism, was in preparation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And I want to just kind of pause right here for a moment. because I felt God, like, just challenge us in this area. There was a time in the book of Acts when the apostles met a group of people, and they said, what baptism have you been baptized into? And they said, we've been baptized into the baptism of John the Baptist. And the apostles was like, oh, you missing some stuff. What? You're still living as if you're preparing for the coming of the Lord. Jesus has come, he's died, he's resurrected, and even sent back the Holy Spirit. And some of us are living our life like we are preparing for God to do something great. Can I make an announcement to you? God is already doing something great in your life. It's like, Lord, I know you're going to move. He's already moving. What you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Lord, I know there's more that you're going to do in my life. He's already doing a lot. And it's not that he's not going to do more, but we've got to be careful that we don't always look for like the next thing. Like, Lord, what's the next thing? The next thing. Live right now. Be ready for the next. But God is doing some things in each and every one of our life. Even if you're watching online, he is moving actively in your life right now. So don't live your life as if you're preparing for something. Lord, what I'm going through must be preparing me for this next season. It might be, but what about the season that you're currently in? And even as a believer in Jesus Christ, are you still walking with God as if God is not with you? Like as if God is this far off, distant person. God is with you. Like you're in that now. But what if, Pastor Will, what if I mess up? Don't that make me like be out of God? And then when I repent, I'm back in God. No, that's the water thing. When you're in the Holy Spirit, you're in the Holy Spirit. Listen, Pastor Will, you don't know what I just did. I don't think, Pastor Will, a holy God can want somebody like me in him, in his presence. Why not? So are you telling me that God Almighty can't handle your intentional mistakes? Are you saying that the blood of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for us, can't handle what it is that you did? The God that knows all things can't handle that? Can I put it this way? That is a lie from the enemy. Where we think that what we have done, that the Lord says, oh, you did that? I need to get you out of me. I need to remove you from fellowship. That's not God. In the Old Testament, there was this sacrifice so we can be right. And then I messed up. And then sacrifice so I can be right. And then even that wasn't right. But when Jesus, perfect sacrifice, when I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, I am in right standing with God, which means that I am in him. Whether I made mistakes, I did something that I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing. God is not constantly, that would drive a person crazy. Oh, you messed up, you out of here with me. Okay, you repented, you're back. Okay, you messed up, you're back out. You repented, you're back. That's not God. I can hear the Lord saying, I ain't got time for that. So through his love, he compels us to, hey, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Don't keep doing that. Stop it. And let my spirit help you. But every time you do wrong, I'm not kicking you out. Or every time you don't, I'm not kicking you out. That's not God. Amen? Because I believe that every once in a while, there's some people that's believing like, that, you know, I'm going to come back to church so I can be back right with God. Okay, listen. Spiritually, you're already right with God. So what you're doing is coming to church so that you can get equipped to continue to do the work that you need to do in the space that you are in, which means that you're right with God already. You're not coming to church so that you can be back in right standing with God. You are already in right standing with God. I'm coming to church because I don't want the Lord to come back and he found me in the club. No one, stop. If you know you're not supposed to be there, stop. But you are a child of the Most High God, regardless of if you're in the club or not. Stop going to the club, right? So don't get it twisted. Stop going to the club when you know that God is not pleased with that. But you going to the club does not take you out of right standing with God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because if you can get this position right, you won't want to do the club. You won't want to do that stuff. Because you say, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. But the issue is that when we condemn ourselves, sometimes we're like, I'm going to mess up anyway, so if I'm going to do it, I'm going all in. I remember hearing somebody say, this was years ago, and I was like, wow. He said, I know I'm going to hell, so. And it's like, man, wow. And I hope that's not the, and I don't believe that would be the confession of any believer in Jesus Christ that's here today. But like, don't, when your mind thinks that if I mess up, God is mad at me, then you will be inclined to give in to messing up because you're like, he's going to be mad at me anyway. And some of that trauma might come from how we were raised. Well, whether I do good or not good, it ain't going to be good enough. And if it wasn't good enough for my parents, maybe it's not good enough for God. God is not like our earthly parents. But some of us are treating God like the people that we were raised by. He ain't the same. And some of that trauma is leading us to make decisions that causes us to be so wishy-washy. And God is saying, I need for you to lock in with who I am in your life. I am not like your earthly parents. God says, I am God. Come on, amen. God says, I'm God. I was here before they got here, before their parents got here. I know the generational things that you're up against. And he says, I am God. He says, stop treating me like I'm your earthly parents. Stop. Stop waiting for me to call you. Call me. Stop waiting for me to. Amen. We're treating God like he's some, like he uncle such and such. Or like he's, like God is, and some of us, the voice of God is like our grandmom's voice, our granddad voice, and God is literally saying, I need for our minds to be renewed. I am not them. I use them to help you get close to me, but come on. I'm not them. I'm not your youth pastor. Amen? God is saying he is God, and that's who he is inviting us to get in a relationship with. Don't stop at people. Amen? Some of us will say, well, Lord, if the Lord is anything like the other people, he will deny me. Are some of us still living our life as believers with water preparation rather than in the Holy Spirit? Let us not focus so much on the preparation that we do not experience what God is currently doing in our life. And this is for the people right now that are saying, Lord, the reason why I'm going through this must be for the next thing. And God is saying, you know what? Stop worrying about the ingredients that I'm including in this trial or tribulation to prepare you and receive whatever it is that I have for you right now. Stop looking for the next season. Be in this season. Stop looking for, some of y'all looking for fall already. It's summertime. I can't wait till fall. You better experience summer. There's something in it. Because if you're jumping over seasons, you are missing parts of what God is trying to share with you. Some of us are so ahead of experiences that we are not experiencing the experience. So there's something that God wants us to get out of this experience, but we've already left the experience, so we're not experiencing the experience. So therefore, we're not getting the experience that we need. And then we end up in the next season unprepared. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So my eyes is so much on the next thing that I'm missing the current instructions that God is trying to give me. So when I do step into the next thing, I'm unprepared because I didn't learn the lesson here. So ask God, what are you trying to teach me right now? What do you want me to experience right now? I know that everything prepares me for the next thing, but I'm not going to focus so much on that. I'm going to say this again. Don't focus so much on, I can't wait till I get out of this. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Thanks you get out of that. But what is God trying to get you to understand right now of what you're going through? Amen? So don't skip seasons. Discern what God wants you to get out of wherever you currently are in your life right now. Praise God. So I want to wrap it up with this here. And this is the Garden of Gethsemane story. This kind of deals with experiences where even Jesus asks the Father a question as well. And it says that when Jesus, and this is in Luke 22:40, came to the place. There's always so much in everything as the Lord brings you to this place. He said to them, Peter, James, and John, pray that you may not at all enter into temptation. Verse 41. And Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. This is Jesus' conversation with the Father. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Now, I know that the next portion of this verse is immediate, but I don't know if there was a pause or not. Lord, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. And then did he come back and say, yet, not my will, but always yours be done. God, if it is your will, get me out of this place. Lord, if it's your will, get me out of this season. Lord, if it's your will, you can open up any door if you want to, God. Please do it. But do we come back with this other part? Take a deep breath and say, yet, not my will. Make sure nobody else is looking. Your will be done. So there's nothing wrong with asking God to do something. But do we also couple it with God, ultimately, I want your will to be done. God, I don't want to be in this place any longer. I pray that you will just move and make something happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on. That's your heart desire. Now open it up for the Lord to speak his heart desire. Lord, yet not my will, but your will be done. Look at what happens after Jesus says, your will be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him in his spirit. Man, there is a difference between in your spirit and in your mind. And you're going to see in these next few verses. So Jesus says, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And an angel comes down from heaven and strengthens Jesus in his spirit, right? It didn't say strengthen him in his mind. Years ago, I was on a platform service preaching with some people, and a guy got up to preach. And as he got up to preach, he almost passed out. And one of the pastors that was up there got behind him and kept saying, strengthen his inner man. Strengthen his inner man. The Holy Spirit speaks to us primarily to our spirit. That's where the divine revelation is. And then our mind has to grab whatever it is that the Lord is sharing. So when the angel came down to strengthen Jesus in his spirit, it's as if the angel was saying, I know what you're going through up here, but I need to empower you within. And a lot of times we so upstairs, God's here. Lord, regulate my mind. He's like, listen to my spirit. And then your mind will be regulated. Lord, give me peace of mind. Pray, it's a good prayer. Lord, give me peace of mind. What am I saying to your spirit? And some we're so up here. Lord, this don't make no sense. It makes sense here. In the deep recesses of your heart that I've been sharing with you, it makes sense there. But you're too upstairs. You're trying to make sense of it. And the angel had to come and say, oh, we need Jesus to keep moving. Let me strengthen him in his spirit, man. Amen? If you might be looking for physical strength, and God is saying, it's not the physical strength you need right now. You need to be strengthened in the area where I dwell at. I need your spirit to be awake. Because spiritually, sometimes some of us, we're very weak. Spiritually, the enemy in this garden moment, this was spiritual warfare, was trying to wear Jesus out spiritually. So the angel had to strengthen him in his spirit. Amen? So don't fight the wrong battles. Exercise, please exercise. Read books, please read books. But spend some time sensing what the Holy Spirit is speaking within you that your mind may not understand. Amen? And even what I'm sharing with you right now, some of you are like, I don't know what you're saying. Because what I'm doing is speaking spiritual things and your mind is trying to grasp it. But my prayer is that as you go into prayer with God, you will begin to be awakened by the spiritual things that God wants to share with your spirit. And then as you read the word, you can make that connection. Amen? Such a spiritual experience. Praise God. These battles. Now, the mental part. And being in agony of mind. Look at what he did. He prayed, come on, all the more earnestly and intently. Well, how could he continue to pray? Because he just got strengthened in his spirit, man. Amen? To the point that his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. So some people believe that Jesus was under so much mental agony and distress that the vessels in his mind or in his brain or in his head were popping to the point where the blood or the sweat was being mixed with blood. So much pressure that blood is trying to find a way to come out. So Jesus was going through that mentally. But the angel did not come to say, oh my Lord, let me stop you from doing that. The angel came to strengthen him in his spirit so that in spite of him experiencing this mental agony, he can keep moving towards the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is not even on the cross yet in this moment. This was the greatest battle that he was experiencing. Yes, the whipping was terrible. The cross was terrible. But we don't hear Jesus saying on the cross, Lord, please, please make this stop. It's in the garden that he says, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But the battle at this point, no one was beating Jesus up physically. The battle was in his mind. And I think this is a glimpse for us. Where is the battle at right now? Where's the help coming to our spirit? Where's the battle? But in order for me to endure whatever it is that I am going on, this has to be spiritual. A simple phone call won't do it. A simple text message saying, can you keep me in prayer, won't do it. We've got to start, and if you get on your knees, that's your thing. Like, we've got to start getting on our knees and praying like Jesus did. He prayed even more earnestly, despite what he was going through mentally. It says that he intensified his prayer. And sometimes for us, we're kind of like, I'm going through, and we limit our prayer. We limit our communication with God. If the battle intensify your prayer. We got to follow what Jesus is doing. We keep trying to take shortcuts. Pray for me. Pray for yourself. And because, as I said this, I'm standing in agreement with your prayer. But if you ain't praying, I'm out here by myself trying to help you. Pray even more and intensify your prayer when you feel like mentally you are going crazy or you don't know what to do. Pray. Amen? The agony that our Lord and Savior was going through. He hasn't been whipped yet. He hasn't been nailed on the cross yet. He hasn't been pierced in the side. He is just in the garden, and he got three people with him, a throne stone away. What are they doing in this moment? Some of y'all know what he's doing. What they doing right now? What caused them to sleep? And I thought, I'm going to stop here, and I thought this was pretty profound. And when Jesus got up, still sweats of blood coming down. He goes over, came to the disciples, and found them sleeping from grief. What you grieving about? Remember I was talking to you about atmospheres? It is possible that you can be so connected to someone that they can be going through something and you're grieving it. What were they grieving about? Jesus ain't dead. But I believe that they were so close to him, spatial-wise, that they were feeling the atmosphere of the warfare that was taking place. And to them, it's as if, for some reason, it's as if Jesus was dead. And they went to sleep. But he told them, don't go to sleep, because if you do, you're going to fall into temptation. But whatever heaviness that they were experiencing because of what Jesus was going through caused them to be grieving. And this is going back to what we were sharing earlier. When people that you are used to being with and connecting with you and the Lord is taking you to another level, be careful that if they say, you know what? That's all good for you, but that's too heavy for me. I can't carry that weight that you're carrying because it vexes my spirit. The battle that you are going through may bother other people and they can't handle it. And they're not that far. They are a stone's throw away from you. But they're so connected to you that they experience the battle that you're going through, and it is causing them to grieve. So I want you to hear this. So if people start looking at you, you're going through the battle. You're going through whatever it is you're going through, and they acting like they're going through it. And sometimes in psychology, it's called vicarious trauma. It's when you begin to start feeling the feelings of what someone else is going through because you're connected to them. There might be people connected to you that's grieving, and there's different cycles and stages of grief. So if somebody is getting angry with you and you like, you ain't going through what I'm going through, why are you mad? Be watchful of what people are experiencing while you're going through. And for some of you, you do not have time to go and console them. Amen? Because you need your own strength. Let them grieve. Because they're not the ones going through it. It's you. Eventually they'll see the resurrection. And they'll say, ah. But don't stop your God-given assignment because somebody around you is grieving what you're going through. Amen? That's another kind of deep spiritual thing that I'm praying that if some of you are in this place, that you're picking up on it. Look up the different stages of grief. And if you have people around you that are starting to resemble those stages of grief, but they're not going through, you're going through, it's because they're connected to you and all of a sudden they're grieving about what you're going through. But be careful that they don't pull you out, that they don't pull out their sword and try to go cut somebody's ear off. Because that's what Peter eventually does. Amen? And so what is the Lord speaking, moving, demonstrating in your life right now that he is saying to you, lock in. Don't focus on what I'm preparing you for so much. Lock in into the experience right now. Who are those around you that as you are moving to the next level, they may not understand it, but you need to keep moving. Old song says, we'll understand it better by and by. As you just keep going and say, I hope to see you at some point. But don't slow down because other people don't understand your walk with God. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.